Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you for a good time tonight with you. Lord, we ask that you direct us, that you guide us. You set a watch before a lift to speak only those things that you want us to speak, Father. And I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you that tonight's going to be an awesome time because we're going to talk about Jesus. And Father, I just praise you and I glorify you. And I thank you, Lord, for the work you're doing in all of us. And Lord, I thank you for bringing down the deep state up there in Washington, D.C. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to bring this Hurricane Irma down to a category that can be manageable, just like you told us to pray, that there won't be many people die because of it, Lord, and I thank you for it, Lord. And we're just going to believe by faith, Lord, that you're going to bring that thing down to a category to where it's manageable, and we thank you for it, Lord. You told us that you're going to use this to warn people to get off the coast, and Lord, I think it's a good warning, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. I ask, Lord, and I pray that your protection be upon President Trump and his family. And Lord, I thank you for it. And I thank you, Lord, that we know that the Red Sea is coming for the deep state and that the resurrection of the man child is coming and the anointing of the man child is coming as well, Father. We pray for those things. We pray also for revival throughout the land, Lord, that it would start right here and it would spark a revival in us tonight, Lord, and just go across the globe. In the name of Jesus, Father, and I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, that it's a revival of repentance and crying out to you, Father. We've seen those in the past, and Lord, we long for that to happen now because we have prayed the prayer of faith for family and friends, and Lord, we know that you're going to do a mighty miracle here, and we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to mute you, Courtney. Okay. All right, Lord, I just thank you for it. All right, anybody got a prayer request? Lord's in the business of answering prayers. Yeah, go ahead, Malcolm.
I was just thinking this over. I guess this is the first time I've been on for a while, but I was just thinking over chopping, is it Ira or Irma or whatever her name.
Irma, yeah.
Irma, her name is. You know, I was just thinking about how deep God's ways are. If he's using this to get people away to prevent much greater loss of life with a tsunami, then I'm just praying that he'll maximize Irma as much as possible to affect what he wants to do with in preparation for the tidal waves, for the tsunamis. Because if people aren't moved away and these massive tsunamis come, it's going to be enormous loss. It's going to be enormous loss anyway, but you know what I'm saying? So, in other words, pray for a minimum loss of life between the two.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Lord, we just thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that it's just going to be the a minimal loss of life. But, Lord, it's also going to be a major warning for people to move off the coast because that's what you said you wanted us to pray about. Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe it's going to happen too, don't you, Malcolm?
Yeah, it's amazing that God even reveals these things to us and gets us so involved.
What's amazing is 185 mile an hour winds that thing has.
I've heard they're topping 220 at the gust. So.
Could be. I believe before it hits landfall, it's going to go way down, though. I don't know how God's going to do it. I don't know, but I believe I think that thing is going to shimmy all the way up the coast, though. I believe it will. All right. Anybody else? Hey, Andrew. Yeah, go ahead, Tim.
Well, like we were talking before the meeting, I'd like everybody to join me in praying for rain for those of us out on the West Coast here. We desperately need it, and firefighters need it. So, Heavenly Father, in your name we ask that you would send rain. There's none forecast, but that doesn't stop you. We pray that you would give it particularly where the fires are, and that there'd be no loss of life in the firefighting community, and that the fires would be quenched and the air would be cleaned and the earth restored a little bit of moisture. And we thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. I believe it, Lord. I hook my faith up with 10, and we all believe it in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that rain's going to start any time now in the name of Jesus. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, go ahead, Blake.
My daughter's got a knot on her head, and we don't know exactly what it is. And she's still got some allergies going on. So, Lord, we come to you and ask for you to take the knot off Harper's head and the sickness, and we demand it to go now. We demand that you keep your angels around her, God, and keep her in your watch, and just command the demons off her. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we thank you that that baby is healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen, Lord. We just praise you for the work you're doing in that baby. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we just ask that you place your angels all around her and Courtney and protect them, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anybody else? I hope everybody listened to the broadcast Sunday. It was what we're praying about, all of those things that David mentioned. We're praying about it and believing for it. So we believe it. We're believing for household salvation. We're believing for the prayers that we put out for the friends and family members too. And God said he's going to honor it if we continue this fast. So praise God. All right. Anybody else got a prayer, testimony, a praise report? I know, Kurt, you mentioned something. You want to share yours now? I'll unmute you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just, about an hour and a half ago, Darvin went out on the porch and came back in. And when he did, he closed the door. And I don't know how, but the deadbolt locked itself. We've never used it, so we don't have a key for it. So we couldn't get out. So I called Brandy, and he came up. And it was pouring down rain. And he brought his tools, and he drilled and drilled and drilled and hammered until he finally got the deadbolt out, all to pieces, and got the door open. So I praise God for that, and I thank Brandy for his efforts of getting us out of the house. The back door you can't go out because the porch is rotten, and you'd probably get hurt, you know, going out the back door. And so we were thinking about taking one of the screens out, but anyway, you can't do that. Because on the outside of the house is the way you get the screen in and out of the window. So that's my little deal there. But
I got a question here. I just got to ask this question. Were you locked inside or outside?
Inside.
Wait a minute now. If you was inside, there's a little old bitty lever on that thing you can turn counterclockwise and open it up, generally speaking.
Well, it wasn't happening.
Okay. So it must have been missing.
Yeah, I mean, how did the deadbolt go into the, do it by itself without the key? That's what gets me.
Well, maybe y'all need to repent. I don't know. I'm just, I don't know, brother. That sounds awful. Has that ever happened before?
No, we've been here 4 years.
Yeah.
We've never used, didn't have a key for the deadbolt, never used it.
Okay. Well, all right.
Darwin went out on the porch to check the weather and came back in and closed the door, and we didn't know that it had the deadbolt. So I was going to go outside and get some fresh air, and it wasn't going on. It wasn't going to happen. I could not get. The other thing I want to do is I talked to Connie down there in Pensacola, and there's no water for them to get a hold of, and you know how the gas, well, you probably don't, but the gas lines are extremely long. They've raised the prices, and it's real difficult to get around down there and everything. And they want to prepare the camper so that they can leave and come up north, you know, to get out of the situation they're in down there. So I want to lift Connie up to her prayer, too. She's sort of panicking because she doesn't know what to do. So anyway, Lord, I just lift Connie up to you. I've been in that situation, too, several years ago, 13 years ago, I guess it was. It was 18 days that we were in that situation. They were bringing food around, a meal a day, to different people, and we had trees all over the place, and the roads were blocked, and it was just crazy. So I know a little bit of what she's going through, and anyway, I just lift her up to you, Lord. You know where she's at, what's going on. You know where this hurricane is, and we've prayed it down. It's a Category 5 at this point, and we've prayed it down so that it won't do that much destruction, but taking lives. But that it'll get the attention of the people on the coast to move back inland, you know. So anyway, that's my prayer and that's my testimony. Thank you.
Amen. Lord, we just thank you that this will be a wake-up call to your chosen that's still out there on the coast, Lord, that they would move back inland to where you want them to be safe, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Got a testimony, a praise report, I'd like to pray. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, I don't have a prayer, but what just came to my mind, what Kurt was just talking about, Florida, you know, if that hurricane hits just right, it'll pretty much evacuate that whole state. And we know that with a tsunami, it's going to be decimated. So just think about that. All those people that, you know, will have to leave Florida. I mean, a lot of people, people need to be, my thought is people need to be leaving now to because of that hurricane. Because you can't wait till last minute. The roads are going to just be... there's going to be traffic jams everywhere and people aren't going to be able to get out. So anyway, well, Father, we just pray that you speak to your people, your elect, Lord, and just speak to them that they need to be getting out of there now in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I wouldn't wait to the last minute either. You know, if it hits, and it's not because we've already prayed the prayer of faith, if it hits Florida like it is right now, Florida would be no more.
Mm-hmm.
It would be no more. I mean, it'd just wipe that thing plumb off the map. But it's not going to do that because we prayed the prayer of faith, and it's going to just warn people. Praise God.
Right.
Y'all just watch it. Y'all keep an eye on it and watch what happens. Before it hits land, it's going to die out. Go ahead, Tracy.
Hey, guys. Hey, Michael. God bless you guys. I have a testimony, in just a Zoom room just like this. It was kind of late at night. I think there's about, 20 of us, and a woman came in and, she had back pain. So, severe back pain. So we prayed and the Lord completely took all the pain away, healed her back. But that wasn't what was cool. What was really cool was, she just had an operation on her ankle. I think it had been maybe a year, and you could see the scar on her ankle. And they had put screws and plates in her ankle. And she walked with a limp and was told she'd never run again. Well, when we prayed, she also said, oh, well, my ankle's a little messed up. Can you pray? You know, like no big deal. So we prayed, just took turns in the room praying, and the Lord had removed the plate and the screws, and she could move her ankle just like the other one. And she actually has this on videotape. She takes, she's like, guys, look, look, you know, and she recorded it, and we put it up for a testimony. And then I got another message saying, I ran, you know, she's so excited that she could run again. And man, God is just so awesome. That's not even why she came in. She just came in to be a part of the fellowship. And by the way, guys, my back hurts. Next thing you know, the Lord is removing plates and, you know, screws from people's body. It's amazing. And you could see the scar. He left the scar where, you know, all that was in there. But man, how awesome is our God? Isn't that cool?
Praise God. That's awesome. That is awesome. Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise you, Father. That's a good testimony. Go ahead, Ken. I'm not hearing anything.
How's that?
That's better.
Okay. I'm not doing the same fast you guys are doing. I'm doing a 7-day water only fast. I started the second, and I'm doing that tonight, so I started my fast the second. So, and plus, all taking place in North Carolina. I'm here in Michigan, and that means almost all my family's going to be over there just about the time the hurricane's going to hit. So that's part of my fast, too, that everything will be safe with my family, because there's a lot down there and a lot more going down there, you know, for the wedding. So just going down there for the wedding, which will be a Christian wedding, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father. Amen.
Yes, Lord. Okay, Lord, we thank you for keeping his people safe down there in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, anybody else? Well, anybody else got a testimony or a praise report or would like to pray about something?
Yeah, Michael.
Yeah, Marlon, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I got a testimony. We always have a Bible study here on Sundays, and my sister comes. We got a really small group. There's only five of us. But she had a friend that her brother had cancer. That was, I think it was last spring when that was, and they said he was just full of cancer. They didn't really give him much hope. So we prayed for him, and the other day she came and said he told her that he's cancer free. So we just praised the Lord.
Praise God. Praise God. You know, that reminds me, there's a lady I know that has lung cancer, and they've given her 3 to 6 months to live. She's an old friend, goes all the way back to my childhood, and I'd like for y'all to believe with me. I don't even know if she's a believer now or not. I hadn't been able to get in touch with her, but Lord, I lift up Phyllis to you, and I thank you, Lord, that wherever she is, this would be a wake-up call to her if she's not yours, Lord, and that you would grant repentance and draw her to you, Lord. And I thank you for doing it, Lord. I ask and I pray, Lord, that you would save her. And not only that, Lord, after saving her, I ask, Lord, that you would heal her so that she would be a testimony to everybody around her. In the name of Jesus right now, I come against that spirit of cancer. I command it to go from her right now in Jesus' name. I command the spirit of death off of her right now in Jesus' name. And I command the spirit of the fear of cancer off of her right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that she's going to start gaining weight and she's going to completely heal of this attack by the enemy to take her out in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you that if there's any unforgiveness in her heart, Lord, that you would show it to her so that she could repent of it, Father. And I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for healing and saving Phyllis in Jesus' name. Amen. And y'all believe that with me? Amen. Thank you, Lord, for healing her. Okay, anybody else? Amen. Yeah, go ahead, Tim.
Well, along those same lines, one of my friends at work, he's a supervisor, but still a friend, good guy. His wife has been battling lung cancer and breast cancer, and she never was a smoker, but she didn't have any symptoms until it got into her lungs, and by then they thought it was going to be too late for her. And right about the time that this had happened, I was listening to an older teaching, and it was talking about the curse of unforgiveness, and it came up how that particularly, is a symptom or a cause of breast cancer in women. And so I was talking to the boss over several different times about, she had unforgiveness issues, and he said she did. And we talked about that and how she needed to, repent and forgive. And anyways, long story short, they did everything they could here in Spokane, and they went down to Texas to some great big cancer center, and they said that there, wasn't much else they could do for them. But anyways, I heard kind of through the grapevine the other day that they came back and went to her doctors, and she is really making a remarkable recovery. We're expecting a full recovery from her. So,
amen. Thank you, Lord. I've seen many terminal cancer patients healed completely. Many. It's a spirit. A lot of times it's brought on by unforgiveness. And so generally that's somebody got cancer. You talk to them about the unforgiveness and they get that out of their lives. Man, it's easy after that. It's downhill. That cancer got to go.
Another discussion we had was, that the doctors were running out of options, and I was able to, they're Catholic and have been forever, but I didn't bring that up or limit that. I just said, that prayer has healed a lot more people with cancer than doctors have, and he agreed with me and said that they were pursuing that as well, and we've been praying for her. So, yeah, praise God.
That's amazing in itself. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. People want to believe you, Lord, and trust in you. In Jesus' name. Okay, anybody else? I want to share something with you right quick. And there's a reason why I want to share it. Just a minute here. Let me find it. I'm looking in Numbers. I'm looking Numbers. Chapter 30. And let's see. And I want to read something here. You men, listen to me about, your wife, or whoever's in your household. The Lord has given the authority figure in the household over and above anything that anybody else says in the household. In other words, you can count it as null and void, and God's going to honor your prayer over and above whatever they speak. But you have to warn them about it. And I'll tell you why I'm saying this in just a second. It says in verse 3, when a woman voweth a vow unto the Lord and bindeth herself by a bond, being in her father's house in her youth, and her father heareth her vow and her bond wherewith she hath bound her soul, and her father holdeth his peace at her, then all her vows shall stand, and every bond wherewith she hath bound her soul shall stand. But if her father disallow her in the day that he heareth, none of her vows or of her bonds wherewith she hath bound her soul shall stand. And the Lord will forgive her, because her father disallowed her. And if she be married to a husband, while her vows are upon her, or the rash utterance of her lips wherewith she hath bound her soul, and her husband heareth it, and hold his peace at her in the day that he heareth it, then her vow shall stand, and her bonds wherewith she hath bound her soul shall stand. But if her husband disallow her in the day that he heareth it, then he shall make void her vow which is upon her, and the rash utterance of her lips wherewith she hath bound her soul, and the Lord will forgive her. And I said it to say this, if you have an unbelieving wife and she speaks curses upon herself, then it's up to you to tell her, well, I disallow that right now in the name of Jesus. I rebuke that and I count it as null and void. And I know that the reason I say this is for one reason. I've had my kin folks that call me, and matter of fact, my wife today said that she thinks that she's getting pneumonia in her lungs again, and it's not a good thing for her when she gets pneumonia. It's very, very debilitating. And so I told her, I said, no, in Jesus' name, I rebuke that, and I know that you are healed of that. You don't have to be under that curse, and you're not under that curse, because I'm the authority in that household. I take authority over that infirmity and command it to go in the name of Jesus. And so with that, I know it's done. And I know that y'all are believing with me that she is not and cannot get pneumonia without my permission, and I ain't giving it. In Jesus' name, amen. So there you go. And I tell you that because I didn't know about this particular verse. I knew I had authority, and I always did it, but I didn't know about that one there until today. David told me about it. He said, go in there and check out Numbers chapter 30. I said, I checked it out, and I said, uh-oh, I got to call Jeanette. And I called her and I said, you ain't got it. You ain't going to get it in Jesus' name. And I disallow and I rebuke and I cast down everything that you cursed yourself with in Jesus' name, and hung the phone up real quick. No, I didn't. I didn't. She listened. She listened. And she agreed with me too, by the way. She did. She agreed with me. Praise God. So I'm just looking for a miracle there. Amen.
You go, Michael.
Yeah, amen. I wanted to hang it down, because I thought maybe something might be coming back, but no, she took it. She said amen. She believed it. Blake's prayed with her too, didn't you? You played with her this afternoon too. So praise God, she's healed. Amen. Anybody else? Yeah, go ahead, Blake.
She said she had to go pick up medicine. I said, no, you don't. And she said, that's what your papa says. So
she's got twin barrels coming at her now.
she don't know what to think about it.
She said, he has been indoctrinated. My goodness gracious sakes alive. He's done drinking the poison. Praise God. No, actually, she's showing a lot of faith. She has been. Praise God. Okay, anybody else?
You know, Michael, I'd like to say, and Blake, you know, the Lord's going to use Blake as a catalyst to get Jeanette down there.
Well, I'll tell you a little secret, but I ain't going to tell it right now. I'm going to wait and make sure what the Lord told me.
I hate when you and David do that.
Well, that's just the way it is. I mean, huh? Yeah. Blake says it's hot. Okay. Anybody else?
I don't really know his name. Leonard, the younger Leon.
Oh, Leo.
Yeah. Yeah. I was wanting to know an update from the testimony till last week.
Oh, you're talking about Joshua?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Son Josiah?
Yeah.
Yeah, Josiah, I'm sorry.
I would say things are getting better. You know, I mean, it's still a struggle. I mean, we're still walking it out by faith, so the full manifestation hasn't quite happened. We still definitely are struggling as a family. We still feel an oppression on our family from the devil, basically. And we're working through those details. To dig deep, and like I said, well, I mean, I have character issues, my wife has character issues, and we're just humbling ourselves before the Lord, and I know we're going to come through it. So that's really all there is to it. I mean, we're definitely believing, we're standing firm that Josiah will be completely delivered, that my household will be free from every evil oppression, that I will be free from all my burdens, and my wife and all of our kids. That's our confession.
Amen.
Well,
all right, y'all just remember Leo and his wife and their children in your prayers.
Can we pray
throughout
for him?
The week? Yeah, go ahead.
God, we want to lift up Leon and his family, lift the depression off of his family. We demand to go now. And just humble him and his family, God. Take his burdens away and his wife's burdens, God, and just humble them. Show them your mercy, God, and just humble them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we hook our faith up with Blake and Leo, and we thank you, Father, for the work you're doing in that family. We thank you, Lord, that tonight they're going to have a peaceful night in Jesus' name. We just command it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
All right. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? Hey, Jackie. Hey, you in that new house yet?
Yes, sir, I'm still here.
Okay. What you trying to camp out there for?
I don't know. Lord, switching things up and working a lot of patience in me, so I'm just waiting.
Okay. All right. For his God.
Amen. Thank you. Love you all.
Love you too. You coming down next month?
That was my plan. I'll have to see because I'm going to try to finalize this within a week or two.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. So hopefully that was my plan, to come down for about a week or 10 days, I hope.
Okay. Cool. All right. The Lord, we just declare it and decree it in the name of Jesus that she's going to finalize and get the house closed out, and she's going to get moved up there where her other house is, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Yeah, it's kind of tough living between two homes.
Oh, yeah. Amen. All right, anybody else?
Thank you, brother.
Okay. Bless you. Anybody else got a testimony, a praise report, a comment, anything? Hey, Willie. Okay. I sent out a text this morning early. And I have to apologize, but it's been hectic around here as far as trying to get anything done. And, you know, me and Blake's been doing a lot, and he's getting his testimony up on YouTube. It should, hopefully tomorrow I can get it up there. I tried to today, and I just didn't have the time to work with it. And I'm going to get Kevin to help me. He's our guru to help that kind of stuff. I'm just not that technically inclined to do it. I could do it if I plugged away. It might take me a week and a half, but I could probably end up doing it some point in time. But I'm having an error message every time I put it, try to upload it. So maybe tomorrow I can get through that after the broadcast. Anyway, I sent out an email this morning about what our topic would be tonight, and that's our weakness brings on God's strength or his power. And I hope everybody kind of looked at it and have some comments to what does bring on God's power. And why does God want us weak to begin with? Why does he want us weak as a child? Yeah, Leon.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you talking to me?
No.
No, Leon.
Yeah. So that we can't claim any glory. So he gets all the glory. And it's not through our works, but through his works. So he gets the glory.
Amen. That's right. The Lord, just like this David has talked about the Red Sea. Y'all have heard, if you've listened to the broadcast, you know what he's talking about. And he's talking about the Lord taking out the deep state himself. That's one of the issues or one of the things that we're waiting on to see. And God's going to get the glory in that because Trump's actually kind of held captive by the deep state up there right now. And it doesn't look like there's anything going to get done because of it. But when God gets a hold of it, we're going to know it's God. You're going to see it. And we're going to know automatically, well, God's done something here. And he's going to get the glory. That place of weakness, which is our inability to save ourselves or deliver ourselves, is a place where you can look for them miracles to happen. I've seen it happen in our life, in my life, where you can't, you know, a person with terminal cancer, there's no, the doctors send them home. There's no place for the doctors anymore. They are at their weakest then. And that's when you can talk to a lot of people at that particular time and show them God's love, that God will heal them. God can and will heal them. And he will, because he's the one that's going to get the glory, not the doctors, not the doctors. A lot of scriptures in the Bible, you know, you look at Moses. I think we had something on this here a while back, a few months back, on the same thing. If you remember Moses, when they were down by the Red Sea and they couldn't go backwards, they couldn't go to the left, they couldn't go to the right, they were boxed in, and the Lord put them there for a reason, so that he could get the glory. You remember when Moses cried out to the Lord, Lord, we're here. What you want us to do now? How are we going to get out from this place? You know, and he said, Moses, says, I've already given you the authority to raise your stick and command that stuff to part, and he's going to walk on by it, you know. And that was, he did. They walked across, and what happened? They got on the other side, and the sea took the enemy out. God took the enemy out by himself. And of course, Paul told us that was like a baptism. That was where the old man went in the water and the new man came out on the other side and the old man was killed, right? That's kind of like a baptism. That's what baptism is about. You go down as the old man and he drowns and you come up the new man. You're in Christ at that time. And that's where God wants us. He wants us in those places of weakness. The time that me and David rode that truck back down the hill that had all the ice on it. And the truck wouldn't go left or right. It was going where it wanted to. And that was the cry that David and I had to the Lord. Lord, We can't do anything. We are at our weakest. It's time to show yourself strong in our benefit. And he did. We went through a car supernaturally, ended up back, and David, I knew was going to hit the car. And David was giving me a play-by-play, but what I was looking at was in the rearview mirror. I saw the cliff. I said, man, Lord, please don't let us go on off of that cliff. I didn't want to go back. I knew it was going to mess up my truck. And I said, Lord, here we are. We're at our weakest. We need to see you strong. And that thing came within a couple of inches of going off of that thing. It just turned around and just stopped right there where it was. And then David jumped out and went back there and looked. He said, Michael, come back here and look at this. I said, I can't get my hands off the steering wheel. They're locked on, brother. You'll have to come pry my hands off the steering wheel. Anyway, we finally looked at, saw that, and we inched it up. We asked the Lord to help us get that truck up out of the way where other cars couldn't hit it or trucks couldn't hit it. And we did. The Lord helped us get it all the way up out of the way. And then he went and looked at that where we went by that car, and our wheel marks were right next to the side of that car. Well, you know, if you know anything about trucks, they got a front end that's away from the tire, the front of the tire, that much, you know. And that much went through the car. And God showed himself strong when we were at our weakest. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to show himself strong in our life, too. Anybody got anything they want to comment on? Any other stories like that?
Yeah, Michael, I have something I'd like to share.
Yeah, go ahead, Malcolm.
Let me get the car parked here. and my microphone in place. I was, I've already told this years ago, or I've probably told it years ago, I don't know. But I was, had been fasting for a while, long enough so I was pretty physically weak. And I'd come to the decision to leave my denomination I'd grown up with, and been involved with all those years. And so I decided to tell my wife. I knew it was going to be hard, and I just asked her if we could walk out in a field near our house here. So I was out, we were out there walking, and, you know, she sensed it was kind of serious. I still remember kind of stumbling around because I couldn't seem to, I was just a little weak. Anyway, I told her I wanted to leave the denomination, and she just burst out crying, and it was, I didn't realize how serious her reaction was going to be. So, I thought and thought, and I finally capitulated and said, okay, I'll put it off, but I'm still going to do it, but I'm going to put it off. And when I said that, I could hear, in my spirit, I could hear laughing. And I knew I'd failed that test, but still, I think it was really neat because I don't normally hear things like that in the spirit and whatnot. But you know, I knew demons were laughing because I lost. But I think it was neat that I was sensitive enough to even hear that because of my weakness that I was in. Not because of my weakness. I just think the Lord just let me hear that for a number of reasons. So it's not like a wonderful testimony of a great victory. It's just, I think it's a marvelous thing to hear from the Lord and to be sensitive to things of the Spirit.
Amen. You know, I don't believe we can get to a place that God doesn't know where we are. I mean, if you think about it, there ain't a hair out of your head can fall without the Lord knowing about it. He told us that in his word. And he knows how many hairs you got in your head. If he knows how many hairs you got in your head, you can't get in a place where he can't help you. In Philippians 4:19, he says, and my God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. You can't get so far out that God can't reach you, can he? You can't get in any kind of an impossible situation that he can't take care of. He can pay your taxes out of the mouth of a fish if he wants to. He did that to himself and Paul, or Peter, or whoever it was. One of them boys. He can do anything. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, he's going to be able to do it. Keep us out of all kinds of situations. Ask Blake. He got in some impossible situations. God yanked him out of there, pulled him out of it, took care of the addiction too. Praise God. And then brought him to Tennessee. Yep. Amen. And gave him a testimony that I believe that thousands are going to just be blessed by it. I do. I believe that. If I can ever get it up on YouTube. But I can, because God's going to help me. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Look at the little girls. My goodness. Look at all the pretty girls. Glory. Hallelujah. Boy, you're blessed, Tim. Look at all them girls. Those Anna's nieces?
Yeah, that's my other daughter's daughters. They just came up and kind of surprised us, but they showed up. So.
Amen.
Anna's nieces.
Yeah, amen. They're pretty girls. Pretty girls. Thank you, Lord. I bet they're a handful. It's hard to feed ice cream to them girls all the time, isn't it?
Yeah, they don't get much up here.
Yeah, amen. All right, anybody else got something they want to add to this now? Y'all help me out here. Go ahead, Missy.
What Malcolm was saying reminded me of a verse that the Lord gave me the other day. And what it was John 11:54, and this is what it says. Jesus walked no more openly among the Jews, but departed thence into the country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there he tarried with the disciples. And what the Lord showed me was that Ephraim is the true church. And walking no more amongst the Jews, there's those who, you know, outwardly say that they're God's people, but really aren't, you know, it's the apostate church. And departed thence into the country near to the wilderness, you know, and the wilderness is that place of weakness. And it's when we're, you know, what the Lord showed me was, is, you know, I've come out from among them, and that he's with me. And those who come out from among them, you know, and are in a place of weakness are his disciples. And you know, being in play, and what makes you weak too is, I was reading right before, and weakness the way to God's power. I'm reading it right now, and right before the outreach, I was reading this, and when we obey God's word, that puts us in a place of weakness. And I was at a really good spot, and I'm like, oh, this would be cool to share tonight, you know. If anybody has the book, I'm on page. I'm trying to think here where I want to start. um, actually on 180. And Mike, David just told the story about the treadmill going against the world and it's picking up speed, you know, trying to get through that door. And he says, we're running a race, but let me say, this is not a race against one another. It's a race against time. There's a door closing, but you have to bear fruit or else you'll be called what the scripture and Jesus called an unprofitable servant, cast forth into outer darkness. There's no such thing as bearing fruit without the cross. And the cross is the place of weakness, I'd like to say there. I'm going to point out just a few of Jesus' commands and show that when you obey them, they put you in a position of weakness. You cannot defend yourself. You cannot hit back. You cannot do any of these things that your flesh wants, because if you do, your flesh will live and it will get stronger. Romans 8:13. For if you live after the flesh, David says, in other words, if you walk in the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. We want the new man to live, and there's only Are you doing that for me? What's this?
No, I'm doing it for the little girl there with Tim.
Okay.
Of course I'm not doing it for you. Yeah, when you go, like you go ahead. You go right ahead.
Okay, we want the new man to live, and there's only one way that can happen. The old man has to die. They live in the same house. The old man and the new man live in the same house. The spiritual man was supposed to go into the promised land and kill that enemy and live in his house, and we are, in one parallel, that promised land. That spiritual man is Christ in us, and he's the spiritual man in every one of us who seeks to take over this vessel. 1 Peter 2:18, servants, be in subjection to your masters with all fear, not only in the good and not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward, for this is acceptable. And acceptable really is grace, is the word there, grace. For this is grace, if for conscience towards God a man endures grief, suffering wrongfully. I'm like, that is such a revelation. That is so awesome, because it's God's grace. The trials and the tribulations are God's grace, because without them, we won't overcome sin. We won't enter into the kingdom. We won't bear fruit. And grace, that's right. God sends us through grace down here on this earth. Sometimes we don't look on it as grace, but it's wrongful suffering. He calls it grace. That's the original word there. We have to go through suffering. Through many tribulations must we enter into the kingdom of God. We must go through suffering, because the flesh doesn't die without suffering. If you're not suffering, then you're not ceasing from sin. He that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. That's because when you're suffering, when your flesh is suffering, and I'm talking about the entity of the old man in you, the mind of the flesh in you, when the old man is suffering, it means that he's not getting his way. I'm not talking about this physical flesh suffering. And I'd like to say, is some people, you know, I think about sickness, you know, this the physical flesh suffering. That's not what he's talking about here. I'm talking about that entity that lives in here that wants to gratify self. If he's not suffering, you're not bearing the cross. You're not obeying the commands of Jesus if the old man is not suffering. That is like, I have that majorly highlighted there. If he's not suffering, you're not bearing the cross. If the old man is not suffering, you're not bearing the cross. You're not obeying the commands of Jesus if the old man is not suffering. So Peter called it grace. For what glory is it if, when you sin and are buffeted for it, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you shall take it patiently. This is grace with God. Anyway, I was just like really so encouraged by that. I wanted to share that. I thought that was so cool how sovereign the Lord was for me to have just read that part and be right at that spot, that it was just a really profound word.
Amen. Well, God can do anything, can't he? I mean, listen to this, Missy. If he can stop the solar system for a day, so my man Joshua go out there and beat his enemies back, then he can do anything that we got, right? He can do anything that we have. Because why? Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He'll do it for you. If he did it for Joshua, he's going to do it for us. All he wants us to do is to be weak and to have faith. Be weak and have faith. Now, the time when you ought to have faith is when you're weak, because God doesn't need to meet your needs when you don't have needs, right? But he does when you're weak and you don't need, and when you need a miracle, you need a miracle. And he ain't going to give you a miracle until you need that miracle. Now, but here's something else you need to think about. Let me get back up in here in this camera. You don't need to think that you're not going to avoid any trials of your faith, because God's going to run you through those trials to see how patient you are. If you're going to hold fast to your faith to see that miracle. That miracle ain't coming until the miracle's needed. And if you trust in him, between the time that you start trusting and the time that you need it, he's going to be there. He'll do whatever you need. All we need to do is be confident that he's going to do it. We need to be like children, don't we, in him. And that's what we need to learn. And it's not an easy lesson, as most of you already know. It demands the death of our flesh, our self. Religion has taught us, has trained us back in way back when with the mind of the beast, because religion has taught that God helps those who help themselves. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. That's what they teach. And it takes... And it trains us to take care of those. I've seen churches have a list of the good doctors to go see. And that's just wild, because the Lord teaches he's the one that delivers us. He's the one that heals us. He's the one that does all of those things for us. It demands the death of ourselves, right? Religion trains us to trust in the arm of the flesh. That's what religion does. They change God into a God that has never been that way, so that they can trust in the arm of the flesh. They do that. They have another Jesus. They believe that this Jesus is doesn't heal anymore. Well, give me a break. That's one of the first things I learned when I was when I became a Christian, because God healed me. And if he healed me, don't tell me he don't heal. I've already got the experience of the healing. I don't want to hear that he don't heal. What I want to hear, what else will he do for me if I believe him? That was my question. What else can he do for me that I don't know about, that they haven't taught me about? He will, if you trust him with your faith, then he's going to perform when you need it. No doubt in my mind whatsoever. Now all of us are struggling with things, and that's okay. It's a trial of your faith to see what you're going to do. There are some things that I've been believing God for a while here. But I'm enduring in my faith to believe it's happening. I am. I don't care what anybody says. You know, I could get relief if I wanted to from the arm of the flesh, but I'm believing God because I know God's going to do it. And when he does it, y'all going to know about it. Glory to God. I can tell you. I'll shout it from the rooftops. I ain't scared. Amen. When you become as a child, listen to me now very carefully. When you become as a child, you're entering into the kingdom of heaven. That's the only way to get into heaven is to enter as a little child. And when you enter as a little child, how is that? Well, we just implicitly trust God for everything. If God says by his stripes you're healed, then what are you waiting on? Start believing. If he says by his stripes you're delivered, you're not under the curse, don't worry about it. You're not under the curse. He put us here in this weak position, and he wants us in that weak position for one reason, so he can be the Savior. He wants to be the Savior. Not the arm of the flesh. Anybody else got something they want to add to it, what we're talking about here? You know, I've had many, many people in my family and friends over the years, you just need to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and go and do what you know to do. No, I don't need to do that. I need to do what the Word says. I have to trust God to do whatever it is he wants me to do. Being led by God. How many of you know being led by God and walking that out is a trial because the people around you is going to come against you? When God tells you to do something and you do it, people are going to come against you. But it's when we're at our weakest, you know. There's been times that I've, just cried out to the Lord, you've got me in this position and everybody's coming against me. What's the deal here? You know, and then I'll get some kind of reassurance from him, encouragement from him, and I just hang on. And now we're seeing fruit. We're seeing fruit. Oh, there goes Blake. I know. He's probably going to go get something to eat.
Come on, sweat.
24-year-old boy's got to have his nourishment. How many of you know that? That boy can eat more than I ever thought about eating. Glory to God. And that's okay. Do what? Yeah, he's gained. How many pounds? 13 pounds, and he ain't been here but 2 days. I'm just kidding. He's been here about a week and a half. But anyway, you get in those positions where, you know, it seems like you're there by yourself, but you're not. God's just testing you. He's testing you. And all you have to do is just endure in your faith and believe that God's there and he'll show himself strong. I've been praying for this guy here for, I don't know how many years. Well, ever since he was born. Ever since I became a Christian, I'll put it that way, in 97. I've been praying for him and his brother. That took a long time. But you see the fruit. Don't give up. Don't give up praying for these family members. I'm not giving up on Jeanette. I know she's coming out here. Glory to God. Y'all know that your family members, your daughters, your sons, your grandsons, your granddaughter, all of them, they're coming in. Glory to God. Family members, brothers and sisters, you know they're coming in. All we have to do is be like a little child. Lord, you said you was going to save them. I believe it, Lord. I don't know what your time schedule is, but I know you're going to save them. And when somebody said, did you see what that Blake boy did? You know what he did last week? Man, he did this or he did that or he did it. I tell him, I said, let's pray. They got tired of listening to it after a while. They quit calling me. Said, you know what Blake did? Let's pray. And that's what we do, isn't it? That's what we do as Christians. We pray for our loved ones, and we don't listen to all that factious talk. Oh, you just don't know what it's like down here. Don't want to know what it's like. All I know is God's working in them. Don't give me this mess about they're this or they're that, you know. Doesn't make any difference what your eyes see. Doesn't make any difference what you hear with your ears. What makes a difference is what that Word of God says, and what that Word of God says over and above anything that you can see with your eyes and ears. How many of you know God's in control and not us? God's in control. Both these boys, these twin boys, got saved the very same day.
Hours apart.
Just hours apart.
On the eclipse.
Yeah. And hopefully someday we can have him on here to give his testimony. Praise God. And hopefully someday I can listen to all of y'all's testimony with all of your family members too. I hope this is an encouragement to you to keep on believing. Your prayers are being answered, and don't fall into that trap of cursing them when, you know, well, this one did that one, or Johnny did this, or Johnny is over there, he's on dope, he's on this. Don't make any difference. Don't make a bit of difference. If I die, God's going to raise them back up, glory to God, because he's going to answer your prayers. Amen. All right, I'm going to get off the soapbox. Y'all go ahead and talk now. Yeah.
I want to say something, Neil. My twin brother and me, we got delivered from drugs just hours from each other, and it was on the eclipse is whenever we got delivered from it. And I know that y'all are on a fast right now, and that the benefits of it, you know what I mean? If y'all don't believe in the benefits from it, you can already see it from what my grandpa got. You know, so that should keep y'all strong in your fast, you know what I mean? Man, it's a blessing. I love every single one of y'all, and I want to pray for my brother. And he's at a Christian rehab for 6 months to a year, but I just want to pray that he doesn't get led in false doctrine and all that stuff, because I know it's very, very easy, especially if you don't come from, you know what I mean, a faith background or anything. You can definitely get deceived very, very easily. So, Papa, will you pray for him?
Yeah.
You pray for him?
Yeah. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Austin to you. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to keep him from, protect him from kind of any kind of deception, of false religion, false Christianity. And we thank you for that, Father. We ask, Lord, and we pray that you open up his eyes and ears to understand. He's a smart boy, Lord. You've made him smart, just like you've made Blake smart. And they understand. Just open up his mind to see those things. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, when we see him again, he's going to be so on fire for God. Glory to the Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that he's going to be willing to listen to your truth, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. Anybody else?
Hey, Michael.
Yeah, go ahead, Denny.
Oh, I just wanted to, I'm going to talk to Blake tomorrow. I'm a twin myself, and but my twin brother's with the Lord. He's been there about 4 years now. But we were so close. I mean, it's like kind of like two persons being one, sort of that way. We were that close, and he led me to the Lord. He led my sister to the Lord, my mom to the Lord, and started sweeping through our family. And but I just wanted to, I didn't know Blake was a twin until right now. And we said, I want to talk to him about, I just wonder how close he is to Austin. And, because we had some, especially after we got saved, we just had some really sweet fellowship. And we were just always encouraging each other and pushing each other. And it was just such a blessing being a twin. So thank you, Jesus. Well, I just want to tell everyone, too, on the, on the conference call that we are now in Madisonville. We moved down here last weekend, and We're just, you know, the Lord led us, and it's been just such a blessing. Just to get down here was even remarkable for us, while we had to do. And I don't know, maybe a week or so before, we came down a month early to look for a place, but I don't know, before we came down with another couple, in one day I had two vehicles. They both went out. One needed either a computer or timing chain belt. The other was too old to put any kind of money in. And so we lost, so we had no vehicles to drive. And I happened to be a part owner with my younger daughter who lives in Colorado, because when she bought the car, she needed me to be on the title with her. So that was another possible vehicle that we could use. And she has been talking about getting another car, and I could probably take the old car back. Well, a couple of days later, she called me up and said, "Dad, you're not going to believe this. The engine shot, you know, she forgot to put oil in it, you know, and it was stranded on the highway." So like within a week, all three vehicles were gone. Like, so we came down anyway, and it was just saying, "Lord, we're just going to trust you when we get back. And, you know, we know you always provide." And, but while we were down there and that weekend, the Lord put it on the heart of some of the brethren down there to give us a vehicle. There was a vehicle available. And they just gave it to us, and we brought it back home, and we just got it titled today. But just such a blessing to have that, and it's what a witness it was. Everyone back home, they knew it. We know our vehicles were out, and we told them, "I was going to provide." We didn't know how, but God did through some of the brethren in Madisonville. So we're just so blessed and thankful. So, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, you talking about them twins. Them boys are a little bit younger around me. They try to pull that switcheroo on me. But I could tell them apart. I said, "Get back, boy. What's the matter with you?" You know, they try. "Well, I'm Blake." "No, you ain't Blake. Austin, what are you talking about?" "No, it was Blake that did it." Or it was Austin that did it. Yeah. But, these two twins have always been real close, and one of them's in trouble, the other one knows it. It doesn't make any difference how far apart they are. That's just, I don't know how all that works, but it does. It's a spiritual thing, I guess. I know that when Blake was on this last little roll with the drugs, Austin called me from his rehab. And he said, "Papa, I'm scared." He called me when I was coming home, as a matter of fact, that night. He said, "I'm scared." He said, "Blake's in trouble." I said, "What's the matter?" He said, "I don't know, but I just know he's in trouble, and we need to pray." I said, "Okay." So we pray. I said, "How you feel?" He said, "I'm still scared." I said, "Okay, we'll work it out." You know, I said, "God's in control, son." But that kind of thing happens quite often with Blake and Austin. I'm sure it did with you and Denny, didn't it? You and your brother? That type of thing?
If you get hurt, then I get hurt.
Huh? Yeah. Go ahead.
If he got hurt, it wasn't 2-3 days later, I'd get hurt about the same thing. I broke my arm in two different spots. 2-3 days later, he broke his ankle and sprained his wrist on the same arm. For real, we dressed the same till we were like 16 or something. We've always been like that. We'll talk to each other on the phone, complete each other's sentences. It's weird. I went to prison for 2 years, and then when we got out, it was like the same thing. It doesn't matter if you're always around him or not. You know what I mean? And I love him more than a lot of people. You know, because you know we didn't have a whole lot of people talk to when we were growing up. You know, except Papa and Mimi. So we had each other. That was about it. Well, you know, we had Papa too. I'll tell y'all a funny story real quick before I know it's getting off subject, but we used to sing in bed when we were younger. We had bunk beds, and Papa would come in there and give us a spanking. Whenever he'd spank us, we'd laugh. We'd laugh at him. So he'd get more mad and start spanking us again. So then we'd stop for a second, let him go get back in bed, and then we'd start right back up singing. And he used to come in there so mad. And then whenever we laugh at him, it'd just make it 10 times worse. Yeah, about the probably fourth time he started hitting a little harder, you know what I mean? So, but yeah, we're pretty close.
Yeah, I got a paddle. I got real smart. I made a paddle with holes in it, and I had scriptures on it. I said, now we're going to apply the rod of correction here. And I know, who was it? It was Blake. Blake was the one that got caught first. And I took him outside, and I don't remember, I bent him over. And, man, I smacked him, and this is, I don't know, he wasn't 13, 14 years old, 12, 13, I don't know. And the tears started rolling out. That hurt. I said, I meant for it to. Now get back in there and shut up and go to sleep. But the next time, they tried something like this. It's just a family thing. I got after him. Blake took off. He ain't no way I can catch him when he's running away from me. He took off. I could catch Austin, but Austin knew that Blake said that it hurt, and directly he got away from me too. But we got some sleep after that anyway. Praise God. That's what twins do. They mess with Papa and Mimi. That's their job. Anyway, it's been good.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Denny.
Yeah, when we were like young in grade school, my brother was doing something, so I went running to tell my mom about it, and he was in the bedroom, and I said, he's in the bedroom, you know, so I went running back to the house, and I go in there, ha, you're going to get it, you're going to get it. He climbs under the bed, so when mom comes in there and grabs me and starts spanking me, you know, I'm yelling, no, no, not me, he's under the bed. So, but he got it too, but.
That's what we got to doing. That, you know, Blake did it, or Austin did it, now both of you bend over. Just take care of business right here. Amen. Praise God. All right. Now that we've gotten through with all of that, let's get back to being weak for God so we can see his power. Has anybody got any comments or would like to talk about anything like that? You know, the Lord said that we have authority over all the power of the enemy. But we're powerful only because we have faith in God. Because we can do all things through Christ, right? Because he's the one that strengthens us. He's the one that does it. But he doesn't strengthen us until when? Till we're at our weakest, right? That's when he likes to do it. We have to cease doing what we do to watch God work. That's why he tells us to, when somebody comes against you, turn the other cheek. And he'll be the one that corrects the one that comes against you. And when he does it, they understand it's a correction. But if we do it, he's just going to kick back and watch you get, you know, whatever it is that you're going. You've already done the correcting. Ain't no need for him to do it. But it's going to happen again. You're going to go back around the mountain again. We're powerful only because we have the faith in God and we're at our weakest. We got to cease our activities before God starts. He ain't going to start while you're sitting there trying to save yourself. When you quit saving yourself is when he's going to step in. How many of you know that the world's bigger than we are? But it's not bigger than God, is it? And that's why he wants to separate us from the world. And so he can show himself strong in us. He put us in this old vessel that's weak to begin with. So that when the salvation came, we would know it was from him and not from us, right? It ain't nothing we did. God said that you can't come to heaven unless he invites you, us. Where'd that free will go? It went out the door. You don't have free will. I don't have free will. None of us have free will. The only time that you have free will is when you're mature in Christ. And you know what happens is I've told this story before, and y'all may remember it. When I was doing teaching in the prisons and in the jails, I'd tell them, I said, you don't have free will. And they'd say, yeah, we got free will. We can do anything we want to do. I said, well, get up and get out of here then. And then they'd look at me and say, well, we can't get out of here. I said, then you don't have free will. Well, it kind of finally sink in to some of them. Some of them it didn't. Well, I can make up my mind to go to heaven or not. No, you can't. It has to be God. That's God's heaven. What makes you think you can go to heaven without God? You can't. So God is the one who draws us, and he's the one who delivers us. He's the one who makes us holy. He's the one that heals us. He wants to take control of our whole life. Andrew Murray's got a book out, had a book out, still does. It's called Absolute Surrender. Yeah, that's a good book. That's an awesome book. And what he talks about in there is absolute surrender of everything to God. And when you absolutely surrender to God, you're going to be hearing from God. He's going to be guiding you. He's going to be talking through you. And you're going to be listening to him. You're going to hear his voice. Well, how do I hear his voice? You got to shut up and listen. I'm just trying to be a little blunt here. You have to shut up and listen. And he'll tell you. Yeah, go ahead, Willie.
If y'all can't find the book, you can go right on YouTube. They got the whole entire audio book, you know, of Andrew Murray's Absolute Surrender, if you want to sit and listen to it. It's awesome. You know, I've listened to it like 5, 6, 7 times already. You know, and I was listening to it today as well. Oh, yeah, really awesome.
Yeah, you can find any of his books, actually, on used bookstores on the web. Thrift Books is a good one. There's some more that you can find any of his books. But that Absolute Surrender, like Willie, it's one of my favorites. But it what he talks about and what God wants is our absolute surrender to him. Everything to give up all the little intricacies intricate things that we do to keep self alive. Just give them to the Lord. Say, Lord, I can't get rid of this thing by myself. You got to help me. And not only will he help you, he'll do it himself if you'll just kick back and believe it. And just do what he tells you to do. Let's get in the Word. Renew your mind with the Word of God. How are you going to help these people coming out of the world if you don't know what the Word says yourself? That's another big thing that we need to gear that buckle down on is getting in the Word, getting in these Bible studies, getting in whatever, you know, with the Word in them. And another thing is praying. We have to intercede. Go ahead, Willie.
Yeah, it brought another thing to my mind. You know how it says first, you know, how are you going to tell your brother to, you know, correct your brother if you got like a beam in your own eye? You know, just absolutely surrendering to God, you know, really helps you to see clearly enough, you know, to remove the mote, you know, out of your brother's eye. It really does, you know. I don't want to speak anything, you know, but the Lord has really been dealing with me on that, you know, just surrendering everything. Like, he was dealing with me with things, you know, where I disagreed with a certain scripture, you know, and I could not get it in myself to agree with that scripture. And it just felt like the scripture was like right there in the center of my mind, and I was trying my hardest to hold on to it. And God's like, what are you doing? And so I was like, yeah, that's right, Lord. And then I had to go to the Lord. You know, I said, Father, you know, I can't even agree with that scripture, let alone hold on to it. And, you know, and the holding that I'm doing is just pretentious. I said, Father, you know, I said, Lord, you know, forgive me. I don't know how to grasp it. And I said, Lord, you know, just, you know, give me the heart to agree with your word. You know, fill me with your spirit, you know. Give me the strength to understand this, you know. Help me to, you know, give me power to apply it to my life, you know. And just like that, you know, that trying to hold on to it, you know, trying to, you know, all that just went away immediately. Most of my prayers have been, you know, the way the Lord's been leading me is, you know, surrendering prayers, you know, surrender every thought, you know, every, when it says every single thing, you know, everything, when he wants you to surrender everything, it leaves out absolutely nothing, you know, and it's been awesome. I haven't been struggling too much with anything. And whatever I've been struggling with, you know, I even take that to the Lord and say, Lord, you know, here I am wrestling with something. You know, I don't have power in myself to overcome. Why am I taking that long wrestling with it? You know, why not just say that to the Father and say, you know, Father, empower me. Strengthen me, you know, Lord, you know. Everything's been easy. My God, if I knew it was this easy to take every single thought, every single thing, and just say, here you go, God. Here's where I'm at, you know. This is where I can't do, you know. We literally can't do nothing, absolutely nothing, 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 nothing without God. Nothing. When I say nothing, I mean nothing. I don't even care what you learn. Nothing. You could have a 46-year degree and be poor on the street with no job. Nothing. Not your wisdom, not your not whatever you did to get to know God according to the wisdom of man, you know, is absolute garbage. And I'm pretty sure you guys heard this before. This is you know, new for me, so I'm kind of excited. Everyone looks real solemn. I'm like, yeah! But, yeah, it's just been a new thing for me. I am having, you know, so much fun in this rest thing. Learning about this rest has been, you know, so relieving. You know what it feels like to pray for somebody and then, you know, Father, to the glory of your name, and then just leave it alone. Walk off, go about your day. See something else? Oh, Lord, you know, you see, Lord, to the glory of your name, just do this for me. And then just walk off and leave it alone. And then it just happens just like that. Yeah, it's been really cool, you know, really cool, you know. I would hear you guys talk about, yeah, you just pray and you rest. And I'm like, how do you do that? You're like, my mind doesn't rest. But yeah, you know, praise God, you know. It's been really nice, really nice. And, you know, every lust, every temptation, you know, I've sat there and tried to wrestle with it in my mind, thinking, you know, to be a good Christian, you got to wrestle against these temptations. No. You tell God, you know, I am overcome with temptations. I'm a man of lust. I got passions, you know, running through my pores. If I could right now and it was my choice, yes, I would. Father, you know, just confess it, you know, give it all to him, all, you know, and then ask, you know, for the opposite. Father, you know, strength comes from you, you know, all of it comes from you. Take all this stuff away from him. And he's been doing that. And it's been really cool, you know, really cool. New experiences for me. But I'm done.
Well, that's where God wants us, is in that rest, to believe that he's doing all the work for us. Praise God. Okay, Debbie, go ahead, girl. Let me unmute you.
Sorry. The rest he's talking about. I focused on that when I was doing my daily reading. I'm actually trying to catch up on this consecutive reading that I have in a certain Bible. And I was on Gideon today, earlier this evening. And I just thought, well, this is a weakness. This is a guy with who's weak and, yes, trusted God's power. And, you know the story how God told him what to do and how to send the army down. And he just obeyed God, and he did it. He obeyed God, and he went and did what he was supposed to do. He went and got the ram's horn, and he went and got the torches and the pitchers and did everything God said. And then I like when God said, with these 300 men, I will rescue you and give you victory over the Midianites. So that's a real place of weakness and humility to be in. I was just so blessed by this today, reading this today, because the way God told him that when he would, when they started the battle, he told the men, when I blow the ram's horn, then you blow your ram's horn. And so he blew his, well, it says ram's horn.
Okay.
Then they blew it. And I think, there's something else. Break the pitchers, they broke the pitchers. But I just was thinking about the interceding part and how interceding, but corporately interceding in agreement. I thought there's a real agreement there they had. They were up together. Gideon did that, then they followed, and they did it too. There was anything that was, well, we shouldn't do that. I don't know if we should do this. And none of them dropped their horns and their pitchers. They were one. They were like-minded in this weakness, this point of weakness. And so I just thought that was very interesting. I thought there was another point. What's that? I just really saw the weakness there. I thought, well, this is what we're talking about tonight. So, and then the verse that came to me earlier was in Philippians 2:8 about Jesus humbling himself to the point of death. Death at the cross. I mean, what power they, what God did through that humbling and that weakness. He went in weakness to the cross, but look at the power and look what God did and made available for all of us. So.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, have you ever noticed in scriptures that he never chose the strong man, did he? He always chose the weak one. He always chose Moses. He told God, he said, God, I can't do that. I can't even talk good sentence. Man, I can't carry on a good, decent conversation with somebody without stuttering around out there. The Lord said, I can fix that. Don't worry about it. I've picked you. You're the one it's going to be. Of course, you remember what happened. He went on out there. Little David, little snotty-nosed teenage boy. Went out there and defied the army of the Philistines because the Israelis wouldn't do it. He knew that God was behind him. He trusted God implicitly, absolutely surrendered to the Lord in that respect. He knew that God was going to back him up, whatever he said. Now, that's where he wants us, just like David. Remember, I love that story about David because he was just a teenager. He told Saul, let's see, I'm going to go ahead and mute y'all. He told Saul, he said, David said, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he, the Lord, will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And so this was after he tried on all his stuff. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord shall be with you. Well, no, that's then he tried on, Saul wanted him to try on all his stuff. He said, I don't need all that stuff. I said, all I need is these 5 smooth river rocks. And I'm going to put them in my pouch, and I'm going out there, and that that giant's coming down. And then he went out there. What's amazing about this, the Philistine was over there. Am I a dog, that Goliath, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his God. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the birds of the heavens and to the beasts of the field. And hear what David said to that. He said, and then David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin. Listen to what he said. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee, take thy head from off thee, and I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day unto the birds of the heavens, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. And he picked up that rock, and he slew that giant, went over and took his head off, just like he prophesied. And he was weak, but God showed himself strong in that kid. Little old teenage kid. Let's go to Samson. Everybody depicts Samson as this great big muscle-bound man. I bet that guy didn't weigh but 147 pounds, and he wasn't but 5'7". And he went out there and he slew 1,000 of them with a jawbone because of the anointing of the Lord God upon him. And then when he messed up, the Lord rebuked him, of course. He got his eyes put out. But what happened there at the last? He killed more people that last act of his than he did the whole time he was alive. When he brought down the house, he brought the house down. He wasn't some muscle-bound guy. He had the anointing of the Lord with him. He had them angels with him, them big, tough angels with him. You don't think he was out there slinging that jawbone, do you? Them angels out there smacking him right and left. All he was doing, act like he was doing it. That's what I'm thinking, you know. Praise God. But that's where God wants us. He wants, and is he the same as he was in David and Samson's day as he is now? Is he the same? Absolutely. That's what the Word of God says. If you believe what the Word of God says, then you'll know that we have the authority to do the things that he says we do. All we have to do is have faith to believe in God that he'll do it. And like Willie was talking about, rest in the knowledge and in the trust in the Lord. That's what you do. You rest in that knowledge that you trust in the Lord and he'll do it. Every time, not just hit or miss, it's every time. I hadn't seen a prayer not answered yet. Amen. He didn't choose the strong. He chooses the weak in him because he can show himself strong through them. You got something, Jeremy? Brother?
Hey, how you guys doing?
All right, brother.
I want to throw something in the chat real quick regarding rest. You know, because that's when we're persecuted, when somebody tells you you're wrong, right, your natural reaction is to say, no, I'm right, because every man's righteous in their own eyes, but God ponders your heart, and you understand with your heart. So in doing such, let me see here, throw up something. Well, I guess I can just say it. In Hebrews 4, 9 through 11, Paul writes, there remains, therefore, a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into the rest, he has also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, and enter into rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Where's your faith? See, if you try to do something yourself, you take that away from Christ. Where my brother Michael was saying earlier on, he hasn't seen a prayer not answered, but that's the establishment of your faith to build that. You know, you have to hope first, and then he answers your hope to establish that faith. He is the God of hope. But, you know, the devil wants to hit us up all the time and tell us that we're wrong and that we sinned and that this isn't right because that's our carnal nature we have to deny. Then he'll try to trick us and tell us that we have to do a good work for the Lord. You have to work for your salvation. Subtle, small. But it's not any work that you do, lest any man should boast, it's the work that's done in you. But when we take that away and we want to exalt ourselves, ultimately we're trying to prove something. And that's something we all have to, I had to do that. I had to stop doing what I was doing and just rest because my carnal nature wanted to prove myself worthy, right? I wanted to defend myself and say, I know you are, but what am I? That's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to just trust in God, but that's a process of persecution to do such. Peter writes in that in the first Peter, I guess I can read that, in 1 Peter 4, and he writes 12 through 14. He says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you, as though something strange has happened to you. But rejoice in so much you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that with his glory shall he be revealed, yea, be glad with exceeding joy. And if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part, it is evil spoken of, but to your part, he is glorified." Well, why is that? Because the Spirit of God doesn't work upon you. It rests upon you, right? And you conform unto his Spirit. So that carnal nature says, oh, you're all wrong. You should be doing. I'm not against doing anything, but it's not that you have to. It's that you get to, but you get to with peace. If the peace is not within, it'll be evident outside by everything that you have to do. Does that make sense? You know, you can't cease from doing. And reality, I remember the passage, but literally when we receive the Lord and we call him Lord, he does everything for us. It doesn't mean we get to be lazy. It just means that we trust him. You know, problem is a lot of people want to run, go. They want to run and win the race for Christ and earn and win Christ, as Paul says, but they don't want to register for the race. And that's the issue that everybody runs into. Because God, nothing is new under the sun, right? And the devil always gets you, go, 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 because he knows if he can just mask that former idolatry of the world with ministry, with earning your salvation, then he's just masked it in religion for religious purposes. Paul wrote the entire book of Galatians for that very reason. And you know what? That's the only book in there that he did not thank the Lord for the people because they erred. You know, they've rebuilt something that they've destroyed, and therefore they've since transgressed against the law to which they're trying to come out of. And there's nothing you can do. It's something that the Lord has to move you away from. Then, you know, when you finally realize that no one in the world can help you, right, that this fiery persecution that's coming against you when everybody's telling you wrong, then you'll crowd to the only one that can, and that's the point. That's building your relationship with Christ. So I don't know where all that's coming from, but that, you know, we started in this with rest, and that's really where it's at, is just rest. It's like you said before, pray for him and move along. It's not your problem. You can't save the world. I can't save the world. You can't save the world. It's a wise man that wins souls for the Lord, right? But you can't reveal Jesus Christ to somebody, and that's the only way that they're going to be one. Flesh and blood cannot reveal, you know, but when he said that to, when Peter, he said, you know, who do men say that I am? You're Jeremiah, you're Elijah, you're John the Baptist. He goes, no, but who do you say I am? Peter says, well, you are the Christ. And Jesus, and sure, he smiled. He said, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, which means purified holiness. For flesh and blood had not revealed to you, but my Father in heaven. He was Jesus Christ, and he could not reveal himself to Simon. Only God can do that. Jesus later on corroborates this in John 17 when he says that I pray for the ones you've given me. I pray not for the world. See, they can't be revealed unless God gives us to his Son. The problem is they skip that process and they just come right out of the world and go straight into it without learning who Christ is. That's why Paul writes about the schoolmaster, you know, being the law, knowing sin. That's all a process of resting. I'm not trying to go too fast here. I'm just kind of putting everything together. But either way, I'll let you chew on that for a little while. God bless you all.
Yeah, amen. That was good. Thank you, Jeremy. That's right. You got to get in the rest. Willie's
Michael?
Learning it. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. One of the thoughts I wanted to share that I'd forgotten was when
Willie started talking about the rest, and then because I was sharing, being nervous, I forgot what I was going to share. But when you started talking about rest, it came back to me. And that was about Gideon again, because he believed that God said, I will rescue you with these 300 men. And then they obeyed God and did the things he told them to do. And then it says, then they turned and stood and watched. I could just sense when I was reading this, total rest. They were just, they turned and watched the Midianites start killing each other. So they didn't go ahead and run ahead and run on down there because God said he was going to give them the victory. They let God definitely do it, and they just stood there and watched. So that was one of the points I was going to share that I didn't think of then. So
I mean, they were all in one accord, wasn't they?
Yeah, one accord.
They all trusted God to do what he said he was going to do.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. And that's where he wants us to trust that when we pray, that it's going to happen. And the other thing is this walk that he's got us on is this perfection in Christ walk, this holiness walk. It ain't nothing we do, as Jeremy was talking about. It's what God does in us, and we allow him to do it. Amen. I couldn't do anything myself. If I tried to save myself, I'd be a miserable failure and have in the past, you know, trying to save myself without understanding that God's the one that does it in me. Once I got that feature of this walk in my heart and in my spirit, then I understood that God's the one that does it. I can't do it. And he does it. Praise the Lord. Okay, anybody else?
Yeah, and that's what it's all about, you know, realizing that you can't do it and realizing that everything is free. You know, when the Lord told me everything is free, and he just mentioned it like that, you know, I understood what he meant. Faith is free, you know. Anything that is unto the glory of God, freely it has been given unto you. Even when you give, it won't be in your own strength. Like, I haven't had to worry about who I needed to witness the gospel to. When God started dealing with me with this rest thing, I would just, you know, it would just happen. You know, you get this boldness and this confidence. And it doesn't come from your own wisdom. It comes from that rest that you take up from the Father. You got full confidence that God is going to minister, you know, the word needed for that person's soul. You know, I used to get so into, you know, knowledge. Oh, they got to know this, and they got to know about that. And I'll go beyond, and I'll ruin the witness. Or the person will start becoming confused about, you know, things I'm bringing up that, you know, wasn't necessary for the witness, but now I'm just trying to prove knowledge. Now that I got them, you know, I'm going to try to reel them in, you know, when it, you know, it's by the Spirit of God alone. You know, we all did it. If y'all been in denominations, we all did it. I did it.
Guilty.
Yeah, he's just been, you know, everything is free. You know, if you want to witness to somebody, Lord, you know, Father, you know, give me someone to speak the word to. You know, not my will, but your will be done. You know, Father, to the glory of your name. Lord, if you're going to use me, Father. Send me out there, Father, to the glory of your name. And you just, like, you sit back and you got, there's something about the rest where it gives you this unwavering expectation. It's like, wow, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And you know it's not going to happen by your own strength or by your own power, but you know is going to happen. Then next you know somebody show up and you're talking to them about Jesus Christ. And you may have forgot that you asked the Father to do that. And then God just brings it back to your remembrance. It's such a lovely thing, man. This thing is awesome, man. I know it was this easy. When he said my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and he repeated that scripture to me because I was still carrying some stuff. And he was like, you know, I didn't ask you to carry anything. I said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, all you got, you know, all of it. Everything that, you know, that is given for you to do in Christ, you should not be adding to it. You shouldn't be taking away from it. You should be sitting in, you know, hopeful expectation and such a sense of rest, you know, and trusting through the rest of God's power. You know, it says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And that's when we take ourselves out of that rest. No, but thank God, you know, those whom he loves, he rebukes and chastens, you know, and scourges every child that is brought unto him. And I thank God for not understanding him for 15 years. I thank God that I went through all of that garbage. I thank God. Oh, man. I thank God. Yeah. You know how much scourging and, you know, oh, this has been a wonderful thing. You know, I can actually look back and say, thank God. You know, thank God. No, thank God. Wow. That, you know, 15 years. You know, I really had to go through those 15 years to learn this lesson. That's how long it took to get the denominations out of my soul. 15 years. Wow. 15 years. You know how hard it was for me to hear the things that David would say? Not because I couldn't accept them, because I just didn't understand what he was saying. You know, even if it was simple, you know, it was going over my head. I'm like, what is he talking about? It would be like he would be talking, and you know how you lose attention, and like 2 hours just went by, you don't know what the person just said? That's what it was like for me listening to David Ills. But I never gave up on listening. But it was like that all the time. God, what's going on? You know, I'm just not grasping this stuff. But, you know, the Lord is working all things, you know, to his glory. I'm glad I didn't grasp it. I'm glad I didn't get it. Because now it's all catching up. And, man, it's all catching up. Real awesome, like. But I'm excited. I'm going to set up where I'm going to keep talking.
I couldn't tell. I wish you'd show a little excitement there, Willie, every now and then. Yeah, that was good. Thank you. I think we'll carry on with this Thursday night, too, some more, and talk about the rest and also weakness to God's power and holiness and all of these things that God's got us doing. Willie, would you close us out with prayer tonight? You mind?
Yeah, I'll do it. All right. Well, to God be the glory. Lord, your simplicity is awesome. You know, your grace is awesome. Your favor is awesome. You know, your kindness, your loving kindness endureth forever, Heavenly Father. You have chosen by your hand to do all things. You've chosen by your will, Heavenly Father, to prosper us. Lord, to lead and guide us by your Spirit. Lord, we just thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for sweet fellowship, Heavenly Father. We thank you for every soul here, Lord God. Lord, and we know that your love is with us because you are love, Heavenly Father. You chose to love us in our weakness and our stumbling, Heavenly Father. You know, you delivered us from sin. You decided, you sent your Son into the world to die for our sins. And he fulfilled the work, Heavenly Father. We have all things. We can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. Lord, we bless you. We thank you for your precious Holy Spirit. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for this assembly, Father God. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Well, good night, everybody. We'll continue this again Thursday night.